जय जय श्री चैतन्य दयानित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य दयानित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य दयानित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 10, texts 42 through 48. Generally, when I have a cluster of verses, try to do them together, but each one of these verses describes different devotees. As Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is introducing them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's better to go one at a time and explain a little bit as we go through the different devotees rather than trying to cluster them all together and then explain the group. So 42. Krishna Dasa Nama Esu Vanavetra Dhari. Sikamahiti nama e vilanari kari. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued. This is Krishna Das, who carries a golden cane. And here is Sikamahiti, who is in charge of writing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The person in charge of writing is also called Dwela Karana Paraprata. Kamachari. He is employed especially to write a calendar called Madala Panji. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Ganandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, to understand how this all fits together, takes a little bit of an introduction. What's happening here is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has performed his Navadvip Leela as a young man up to the time when he was 24 years old, then taken sannyas and traveled throughout South India for a couple of years, and now he's returned to Jagannath Puri. So basically, in the whole book story of his life, we're at an intersection between what happened before and what's happening next. So the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in this particular section that we're reading, is introducing devotees and characters and personalities who will be more involved in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's later pastimes, rather than those who obviously he already knows from his younger days. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also previously a resident of Nadia in his younger life. But because of the Muslim invasions that were even going on then, as we know with Chand Kazi and Nawab Hussain Shah, when he told Sanatan Goswami, I'm going to go attack Orissa, there was skirmishes and fighting constantly going on. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left what was more or less a Muslim governmented culture and went south to take shelter of King Pachaparudra and King Purushottama, his father, and established his residence there. So he knows the devotees from both sides. There actually is quite a difference between Gaudiya Vaishnavism and the Gaudiya Vaishnav mood, which we follow, and Oriya Vaishnavism, which a good example of in our society is Gaur Govinda Maharaj. If you read Gaur Govinda Maharaj's books and listen to his lectures, the mood, although it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes, is really quite different in many ways from the Navadvip Gaur Gaudiya Vaishnav bhaktas. So it's almost like when Krishna transferred from his life in Vrindavan to Mathura, there's a whole new set of people. He has a different mother and father, Devaki and Vasudev, rather than Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda. He's no longer a cowherd boy going out to play in the forests of Vrindavan. Now he's being trained as a Kshatriya. Urva, Akrura, the Yadus, all this whole new set of characters and personalities and devotees are part of his life. So it's a drastic change. And then when he moves to Dwarka, most of those devotees all go with him. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, it's very similar. He had all his childhood associates and people that he grew up with and associated with, but once he took sannyas and left, only a few of them actually went to stay with him in Jagannath Puri. So we're at an intersection here where there's a whole new set of devotees being introduced to him. And in this way, what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author, is doing is very slowly and very beautifully bringing the reader's attention to the next section. I was thinking of a nice analogy to try and portray how the author is transferring the reader's consciousness. And in music, oftentimes there's songs that start very slowly and then build and build and build until they go real fast. A nice example is Stairway to Heaven. It starts off real slow with one instrument, the guitar, and then the recorder comes in. And then all of a sudden, by the end of it, it's, you know, rock and roll, harsh. So if all of a sudden you turned on the radio and just got into the end of the song, it's hard to snap into what happened before, unless you know what it is, and then you can kind of like, you know, click in because you know what it was. But what's happening with this author is he's actually developing. Oh, it's so beautiful if you read the whole book, how he takes the reader from this part of life and starts entering into, it's like you can't, in the Rasa dance, another nice example, is if all of a sudden you describe the sweat and the intimate touching of the gopis with Krishna, you miss the entire prologue of the beautiful moonlit night. And the smell of the jasmine flowers, and the sound of the Yamuna flowing through, and the gopis hearing the flute, and each one of them having to deal with the challenges of should I go or should I stay, and their parents and their loved ones and their children, and how am I going to get out to the forest? And this whole big buildup, which actually is a structural integrity of the entire pastime. So we're at a junction in this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where the author is taking us into this new realm. And there are some nice technical explanations which will help us appreciate. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like with the gopis and Krishna dancing ecstatically, you can't all of a sudden go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu misidentifying the ocean with the Jamuna, jumping in and then absorbed in the meditation of the water pastimes, and his limbs become limp and he gets caught in a net by a fisherman, and understand and appreciate that leela without some buildup, without some understanding of who the personalities are. How did he get to this place? What's going on in his consciousness that he's actually exhibiting these divine, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exhibiting the most heightened exhibitions of love that are nowhere manifest in this material world. So in order to understand it fully, in order to appreciate it, more comprehensively. These technical issues help us. So I want to go through some technical issues, since we're at this place where the introduction is taking place of the Anchalila. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Haridas Thakur. But Haridas Thakur lived by himself in a hut in back of Kasi Misra's house. And when he got there, Haridas Thakur wasn't there. And at that time, at this time also in his life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he hasn't met a lot of the devotees who will take place in his later pastimes. He hasn't met Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. He's met Ramananda Roy, but Ramananda Roy is still in the south. He hasn't come yet. He met different devotees while he was traveling in South India, who will also, as Pran Govinda just read a little overview of how these devotees were like rivers coming to the sea. We're at this place now where all these devotees are knowing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now settling in Puri, and they're all coming to take part. So in order, back to our technical explanation here, what we're doing is explaining how literary introductions of characters are done. And there's a part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where that is expressed and told the story. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Haridas Thakur, but he wasn't there. Rupa Goswami wasn't there. But in Rupa Goswami's thatched roof, they used to write books on palm leaves rather than like these or even digital computers. He would write on palm leaves, and then in order to dry the ink, they would stick it in the thatched roof, which is like grass roofs, and stick the parchments in the roof so that the sun would dry the ink. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw some of Rupa Goswami's writing in the thatched roof and looked at one of the verses. And it said, "I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When the name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert." And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this verse, he thought, "Oh God, what a beautiful verse." So the next day, he brought Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and at this time, and later in the Leela, Ramananda Roy and all the devotees, and he brought them, and he introduced Rupa Goswami to them, who he had met during a subsequent trip when he went up north, and then he went to Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami later came to Puri. So all these devotees are sitting around, and it was explained that Rupa Goswami was writing two books, Vedadga Madhava and Lalita Madhava. Ramananda Rai was also an author. He had written a book called Jagannath Vallabha Nataka about the separation, feelings of separation between Radha and Krishna, a very beautiful form. As a matter of fact, next week we'll hear about the Rais and the Pattanayaka family. And I doubt Vedavyas Priya Maharaj is giving class next week, but I doubt he'll mention this, so I want to introduce a little bit of it. The name of the father is Bhavananda Rai, and the name of the son is Ramananda Rai, but the name of the brothers are Vaninath Pattanayaka, Gopinath Pattanayaka, Kasinath Pattanayaka. Why do they have different surnames? The name Rai is a title given. The surname was Pattanayaka, they're Kayasthas. Pattanayaka was the family name, and Rai is a title given. And King Pachaparudra liked Ramananda Pattanayaka's play, Jagannath Vallabha Nataka, so much that he bestowed upon him a title, a literary title, Ramananda Rai. So Ramananda Rai was also an author. And this is a conversation between Ramananda and Rupa Goswami about Rupa Goswami's plays. So Ramananda Rai says, "Please recite the introductory verse of Vedadga Madhava so that I can hear it and examine it." Thus Rupa Goswami, being ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spoke. May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in this material world and nullify all unwanted desires. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like shikharini, a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. They overpower the pride of even nectar produced by the moon, for they distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Ramananda said, please recite the description of the glories of your worshipable deity. Rupa Goswami, however, hesitated due to embarrassment because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present. The Lord, however, encouraged Rupa Goswami, saying, well, why are you so embarrassed? You should recite it so the devotees can hear you, the good fruit of your writing. When Rupa Goswami thus recited his verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disapproved of it because it described his personal glories. He expressed the opinion that it was an exaggerated explanation. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in this age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. All the devotees present so greatly appreciated this verse that they expressed their gratitude to Rupa Goswami for his transcendental recitation. Ramananda inquired, how have you introduced the assembly of players? Rupa Goswami said, the players assemble at a suitable time under the heading of Pravartika. This is what the essence of what we're describing. Introduction of characters. Purport. In drama, the actors are called patra, or players. When Ramananda Rai inquired about the arrangement for introducing the assembly of players in the drama, Rupa Goswami replied, when the players first enter the stage in response to time, the introduction is technically called Pravartika. For an example, one may consult Antulila, first chapter, text 17. So here's an example of how a character is introduced to a story. While going to Jagannath Puri, Shivananda Sen allowed a dog to go with him. He supplied it food to eat and maintained it. Who's being introduced? Who? Shivananda Sen's being introduced. While going to Jagannath Puri, Shivananda Sen allowed a dog to go with him. The dog's being introduced. Exactly. And what happens is that there's no real introduction to this character. He just appears on the scene. And we all know the story, except perhaps new visitors. But what happens is that the dog is treated like a devotee and benefited because he's in the association of others who are devotees of the Lord. So the character just appeared. There's no real circumstances by which he appears. In today's culture, we don't see many plays. It's mostly movies. So one thing you can do if you're watching a movie is kind of catch in the story how characters are introduced. It's not that these people just sit down and like make up a story. There's a whole science behind how to capture the viewer's attention and build interest. If all of a sudden a movie starts with a battle, it's hard to relate with the characters and their feelings. And if somebody dies, say a movie started or a play started with a character dying, like, oh, there's no relationship between the viewer and the person who died. If you feel, oh, the guy died, but you know this. But however, if you go through this whole experience of rasa and development of character and interrelationships between a family and loved ones, like Romeo and Juliet, and all of a sudden at the end of the play, somebody died. It's heart-wrenching. So the development of character, who they are, how they fit into a story, is extremely important. And there's a science behind it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the introduction, which is technically called amukha, can be of five different kinds according to the Sahita Darpana. Introductions may be classified as follows: Odghatyaka, Katodgata, Prayogtisaya, Pravartika, and Avalangita. These five kinds of introduction are called Amukha. Thus, Sri Ramananda Rai asked which of the five introductions had been employed, and Rupa Goswami replied that he had used the introduction called Pravartika. So what do we have here? We have Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya introducing personalities to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as they come to visit him. These are people from Orissa who he doesn't know, and they're being introduced by a narrator. That's one type. I looked it up. There's different. If you look up any one of those Sanskrit names, you'll see that in Natya Shastra, which is the science of playwriting according to Sanskrit, there are the different ways to introduce characters. So in this way, the science of how the author is presenting it gives us much more of a full appreciation rather than just reading a bunch of names. Sometimes when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita chapter 10, where the list of the trunk of the trees, of the different personalities in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it just seems like a list of names. Or if you read the genealogical table in Srimad Bhagavatam of some king that had children and their children and their children and their children, oftentimes it becomes a little like listing of names. But if you appreciate each personality and understand what's going on and how they are, who they are and how they fit in the story, it becomes much more meaningful. Now, in this verse that we read, the first one, it says, this is Krishna Das, who carries a golden cane, and here is Sikhi Nihiti, who is in charge of writing. Now we have the first part, which explains how characters are introduced, another kind of technical, cultural appreciation is who are these people and why are they being introduced as someone who carries a cane and someone who writes? This is one of the main differences between Gaudiya Vaishnava and Oriya Vaishnava. Having lived in Jagannath Puri for 20 years and written a book on the culture, as I entered into the understanding of what's going on there, it's an extremely complex historical network which exists in Jagannath Puri. It basically started, of course, way back with the Sabara. What was his name? Visvavasu. Thank you very much. And the transference from the first half of Lord Brahma's life and the deity of Jagannath Puri, which was manifest then, which was Lila Madhava, to the big sandstorm when Lord Brahma was 50 years old, because he explained to the demigods, when they went to ask him why Lila Madhava disappeared, that that deity was the presiding deity in Puri for the first half of my life, and for the second half of my life, this Lord will appear in the form of wood, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. So that was thousands and thousands of years ago. But in the 13th century, means between 1150 and 1250 AD, there were two kings. One was named Chodaganga, and his son was named Anangabhima. And they're the ones that actually built the present temple, which exists now. Chodaganga started the activity. There's actually a nice book on a contemporary level. One man has written a book called Pillars of the Earth. It was made into a movie also. And what it is it shows how all these beautiful cathedrals, especially throughout Europe, were designed, developed, and built, not by one generation. You think people could build like the Cathedral of Notre Dame or the Vatican? Today, we're trying to do the Temple of Vedic Planetarium in one generation with all kinds of machinery and mechanized equipment. But 500 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or 800 years ago, they didn't have that kind of instrument. So they had to like chip. They had to bring rocks. There's no rocks in Jagannath Puri. So it's a sea beach. Where are you going to get enough stone to build what exists there as a temple today? You have to bring it from the hills, which was way out in the other part of Orissa, the border of Bihar and northern Bengal and the south. So they had to go all the way out there. They had to excavate and quarry the stone, put it on bullock carts rather than trains and big trucks, and then bring it back to the town. So Chodaganga, what he did, he had 10,000 war elephants. And he went on a rampage, and he started to collect taxes from all the different people in his kingdom, which went all the way from the north at the Ganges, bordering Bengal, all the way to the south where Ramananda Rai is now the governor. It's a big part of India, eastern seaboard of India. And what he would do was take all the wealth, the gold and the jewels and the silver, and put it on the war elephants and have them go back to Puri. And they dug a big well called Suakorn, a golden well, still exists. Only it's filled with water now. And they put all the wealth into the well, because they had to collect the funds before they built the building, unlike what we're doing. We had the initial oomph by Ambarish Prabhu, and now everybody's scrambling to try and collect more to get the rest of the building built. They didn't do it like that. They collected all kinds of wealth, put it in the well. When the well was full, then they said, okay, now we've got enough money to start this project. And it took two generations. By the time the temple was built, Ananga Bhima Dev established a system, a network of organization. And I'll read a little bit about it. This is from the temple. When I did my research, the internet still wasn't very good. Now they've got a pretty good description of the culture of Jagannath on the Jagannath Temple website. It's called Tatisha Chatisa Nijoga. At that time, 800 years ago, there was 36 different categories of sevakas, persons who worship the deity in the temple. So let me read a little overview of the types of services that people in that culture perform. The Raj of Puri is the first sevaka of the Lord. He represents the sovereign rulers of Orissa who have constructed the temple, installed the deities, arranged the worship or nitis, appointed the sevakas, and administered the establishment. During foreign rule, they were superintendents of the temple. Then there are the Rajagurus, who were once functioning as Parichits, high officials of the temple administration. Then there's Prata Josi Mahapatra, who is the head of the sevakas of all 36 Nijogas. Now in Puri, a lot of Hindu culture, you can tell someone's caste and their position in the network of seva by their surname. Who are the Misras? Anybody know what a Misra? Misra is a Brahmin. Misras are the Brahmins. There's several different names. Then there's Patels. Patels are hotel owners, right? There's Maharanas, Mahapatras. So these different names. Patajosi Mahapatra, superintendent of all the 36 Nijogas. He ensures that the sevakas perform their seva properly and the rites of the temple are observed regularly. Vaitaracha Mahapatra sees to the sanctity of the bhoga being offered to the deities, and also to the cleanliness of the temple premises. Talucha Mahapatra likewise sees to the cleanliness of the kitchen. Mudirata does all the work of the Raja in the later's absence as his representative. We'll read about one of the Praharajas in this section that we're reading today. The king didn't have his court or his palace in Puri. Does anybody know where he had it? Where was King Pachaparudra's palace?
I went there for dinner.
Ah, you went there for dinner. Oh, no, you went to one in Puri. That's his summer home, yes. No, King Pachaparudra's capital was in Cuttack, which is north of Bhuvaneshwara on the river Mahanadi. because that was a much more central location, kind of like a hub, where they could function more administratively. So when the king is out of town, there's a person designated to do specific sevas to the deity in the king's place. He's called Murirata, or Praharaj, as one will read. All the above sevakas themselves perform artik, vandapan, etc. of the deities at different times. The temple Purohit chants Vedic mantras and performs japa. Puja pandas perform the ritualistic puja or worship. Pushpalakas dress the deities, smear sandalwood paste, etc., while the Kuntiyas guard the sacred body of the deities. The Nemekapas remain in charge of different stored articles. Pratiharis keep guard over different strategic points. The Swaras cook the offerings, Karanas keep accounts, and Devadasis sing songs before the deity. The Daichas perform all the duties of the wooden deities during Snan and Rathiatra festivals. They are said to be descendants of the Sabara chieftain Vasvavasu, as mentioned earlier, and hence are considered close relatives of Lord Jagannath. Just the cooking. There are 752 stoves in Jagannath Puri, and on one day, 1,000 cooks. Those 1,000 cooks, just to give you an idea how this network of devotees is divided, means that there are Mahaswaras. Mahaswaras are the ones that actually deal with fire. They work on the kitchen. They're allowed in the kitchen and work on the stoves, Mahaswaras. Swaras are their assistants. They can come into the kitchen, but they can't cook. They don't actually touch the fire. Outside, there are different helpers who cut vegetables, clean the vegetables, blend spices, keep the area clean. Then there are other people who collect the vegetables and bring it to those people. When you're in Jagannath Puri, if you spend some time there in front of the temple, you can't help but see all these different things happen. All of a sudden, some guy will come running down the street. Because it's not, sometimes it's mechanized, but a lot of the times you see a big like cart filled with clay pots that they've made in the village. Potters, because everybody knows Jagannath Prasadam comes in big pots, and he runs up to the temple carrying his pots, and then they take them inside. Imagine how they feed on a daily basis 10,000 people. All these chatis nijogas are connected to different mutts all around Jagannath Puri for the thousands of years that different acharyas have come there. Ramanuja, Madhvacharya was there. Nadahari Tirtha was his disciple that established the mutt. Vallabhacharyas, Bhakti Siddhanta. How many Gaudiya mutts are in Jagannath Puri? Anybody know? It's like 13. Gaudiya mutts. Two temples for ISKCON, one at Swargadwara, one out in Sipasurabhuli. So there's thousands and thousands of people that get their daily food from the temple. Now, back to our... So this gives you a little... And it's all hereditary. And these people, they have their own jobs, but their foremost focus is their service to the deity. For example, we have one friend, Goldie Studios. Practically any picture you probably have seen, most of the pictures that we've seen of Lord Jagannath, at least prior to the modern day when people can do it with their phones, were taken by his name as Sudha Mohapatra, and he owns a photo studio, and he takes pictures. But his caste is a daitya. So when the Snan Yatra happens and Lord Jagannath gets sick, and then goes into private quarters, his family goes and takes care of the deity when he's sick. And what do you think happens to Goldie Studios? Closed. No way. That's secondary. His business is way down the line compared to his service to Lord Jagannath. I've told this story before. One time there was a Anavasara when they go out and cut the trees for the new deities. simultaneous to that, or around that time, Samapri and I had some photos that we wanted to get framed with these nice wooden frames. So we were at a little, one of those huts on Grand Road, where the guy does the work, makes the frames. So we said, when can we pick them up? He said, well, tomorrow's my seva for Lord Jagannath, so you'll have to come the day after. I said, what seva do you do? He said, they're bringing the tree back to the town tomorrow morning, and I have to bang on the gong. Ah, close my shop and go do my seva. No. And yeah, Haribol. And his service is as dear to him as the person who's dressing the deity. He's taught from childhood. So it says here, this is Krishna Das, who carries a golden cane. From childhood, when the deity goes on procession, it's called Pahandi. The deity comes out, you know, you're seeing how they carry the deity. There's somebody in front carrying a cane. That's his service. And here's Sikhi Mahiti, who's in charge of writing. How do we know all this history of Jagannath? Because for thousands and thousands of years, there's a class of people who are secretaries, keeping track of everything that happens in palm leaves. When the British came to Puri, they started with the East India Company. Came in like doing some business and gradually took over the country. It's basically how they did it. So then they administered the entire country. And when they came to Puri and saw, imagine how many bundles of palm leaves you have with thousands of years of history. And they just, and it's all old and moldy and bugs and everything. So they tried to go through it. There's a few scholars who have written their books on it and translated some of it. So this Dwela Karana is what it's called, the temple secretary. Sikhi Mahiti was a Dwela Karana. So there's a, that's the cane and the Dwela Karana. Now we'll do text 43. Pradyumna Misra Inha Vaishnava Pradhan Jagannathara Maham Sonyara Inha Dasanam. This is Pradyumna Misra, who is the chief of all Vaishnavas. He is a great servitor of Jagannath, and his name is Das. Purport. In Orissa, most of the Brahmins have the title Das. Generally, it is understood that the word Das refers to those other than Brahmins. But in Orissa, the Brahmins use the Das title. This is confirmed by Chuli Bhatt. Actually, everyone is Das, because everyone is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that sense, the bona fide Brahmin has first claim to the appellation Das. Therefore, in this case, the designation Das is not incompatible. Generally, a Brahmin is the highest position of intellectuals in a society. So therefore, to call him a servant generally might not be a title that he or others would appreciate. But in the culture of Jagannath, as being described, even the king is the first servitor of the deity. Now, Pradyumna Misra. This is just an introduction, as we spoke of in the beginning of the presentation of the class, how we're at that place where it's just the mellow, the soft part of the music. But what happens later on to Pradyumna Misra? Anybody remember? What happens to Pradyumna Misra? What's the leela with Pradyumna Misra? What happens with him is that he goes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he says, I see that you have the highest love and ecstasy of Krishna. Please tell me something about Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you know, I go to Ramananda Rai to hear about Krishna. Why don't you go to him? Now everybody remember what happens? So, and then that, if you follow that trail, all the way to Ramananda Rai, how can a person in this material world deal with the Devadasis, who are also, they're like nuns. In the Jagannath culture, the class we read, the Devadasis, there are actually no more. The last one died a few years ago. The class of Devadasis are a class of women who, from a very young age, become the deity's wives. Just like a nun marries to the church and gives her life to Jesus and remains celibate without children and gives her life to the church. In the same way, the Devadasis, and what happens was that when Lord Jagannath takes rest at night, they have beautiful musicians come in and they start playing these nice ragas, evening ragas, and they have coconuts that they cut the top off of, and they bring coconuts in, and then the Devadasis come in and perform beautiful dance for the Lord before he takes rest. So at the culture during the time of Ramananda Rai, he had written the play, as I mentioned, Jagannath Vallabha Natika, about the feelings of separation between the gopis and Krishna. So he would train the Devadasis how to perform the emotions and physical expressions of love in his play. And it was very intimate, as we know, from that lila. So we're just being introduced to Pradyumna Miswa way back here in the Madhya Lila chapter, 10? And that description will be much later in the book. Text 44. Morara mahiti inha siki maitira bhai. Tomara charana vino aragati nai. This is Morari Mahiti, the brother of Siki Mahiti. He has nothing other than your lotus feet. So, I'll read a little bit about Siki Mahiti. And Morari Mahiti and their sister Madhavi. In the Gauragona Desh Deepika, it is said that Siki Mahiti was formerly an assistant of Srimati Radharani named Ragaleka. His sister Madhavi was also an assistant of Srimati Radharani and was named Kalakeli. So here we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, taking the mood of Srimati Radharani, and up until this time, he hasn't really exhibited the ecstasy of the deepest. And he doesn't even know in that lifetime and manifestation these people who have also taken birth from Braj to create an atmosphere and relate with him in a suitable way to excite those moods. But now we see that these associates of Srimati Radharani are right there by Krishna's arrangement, and he's meeting them for the first time. Here's Siki Mahiti, when in actuality they're eternal associates. Siki Mahiti, Madhava, and their brother Marari Madhavi, and their brother Marari Mahiti were all unalloyed devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who could not forget him for a moment of their lives. There is a book in the Ariya language called the Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, in which there are many narrations about Siki Mahiti. So I found there's a little overview of this, that's why I'm going to read it, of his pastime, but there's a prologue from the actual book. Morari and Madhavi were convinced that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Siki Mahiti, he displayed the pastime where he didn't really believe it. He said, yes, just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fainted in the temple, and then his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, was explaining, no, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead right in your own home, and you don't even know it. So, in the same way, Madhavi and Murari, they believed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Lord, but Siki Mahiti didn't. Great devotee, nice devotee, yes, I agree. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead? One night, one narration concerns his seeing an ecstatic dream. Siki Mahiti was always engaged in serving the Lord in his mind. One night, while he was rendering such service, he fell asleep, and while asleep, his brother and mother came to awaken him. It's described that when they were in the other room, they heard him wailing in his bedroom. He was like rolling on the ground and weeping and crying, and they had to wake him up. At that time, he was in full ecstasy because he was having a wonderful dream that Lord Chaitanya, while visiting the temple of Jagannath, was entering and again coming out of the body of Jagannath, looking at the Jagannath deity. Thus, as soon as he awakened, he embraced his brother and sister and informed them, "Oh, I had a wonderful dream that I will explain to you. The activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, are certainly most wonderful. I saw that Lord Chaitanya was visiting the temple of Jagannath and was entering the body of Jagannath and again coming out of his body. I'm still seeing the dream in my mind. Do you think I've become deranged? I'm still seeing the same dream. And the most wonderful thing is that as soon as I came near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced me with his long arms." As he spoke in this way to his brother and sister, Sikhi Mahitri's voice faltered and there were tears in his eyes. Thus the brothers and sister went to the temple of Jagannath, and there they saw Lord Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya and Jagamohan looking at the beauty of Chaitanya of the Jagannath deity, just as in Sikhi Mahitri's dream. The Lord was so magnanimous that immediately he embraced Sikhi Mahitri, exclaiming, "Oh, you are the elder brother of Marari." Being thus embraced, Sikhi Mahitri fell in ecstatic transcendental bliss. Thus, he and his brothers and sister, were always engaged in rendering service to the Lord. So, Sikhi Mahitri and Murari Mahitri. Text 45. Chandani Svara Simhi Svara Murari Brahmana. Vishnu dasa inha dhyahe tomara charana. Here are Chandaneswara, Simhesvara, Murari Brahman, and Vishnu Das. They are all constantly engaged in meditating on your lotus feet. Praharaja Mahapatra inha mahimati. Paramanandi Mahapatra Inhara Samhati. This is Paramananda Praharaj, who is also known as Mahapatra. He is very, very intelligent. Purport. Praharaj is a designation given to Brahmins who represent the king when the throne is vacant. In Orissa, between the time of the king's death and the enthronement of another king, a representative must sit on the throne. This representative is called Praharaj. The Praharaj is generally selected from a family of priests close to the king. During the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Praharaj was Paramananda Praharaj. So this explains a little bit about this introduction of these particular Aryan devotees who will be part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Anchalila. And unfortunately, all we have is kind of an overview. We don't have a day-to-day intimate understanding of who they are and what they are. We have little sprinkles of nectar. But as we advance, maybe some of those pastimes will become revealed. Any questions or comments? Devyanga Prabhu?
I was just curious. Did you say it was... took 200 years to build that temple?
No, it took two generations. Ananga Bhima, Chodaganga was the first one. He was the one that had the war elephants and collected the thing and then started the temple. The first buildings built were the big one that you see, it's called the Dwela, and the Jagamohan, the one right in front of it. Subsequently, there was another one, it's the dancing hall, and then that big wall around it. They weren't there. So there was only the big temple and the one right in front of it. But it took those two generations. It went on for hundreds of years. It took to build the whole thing as we see it today.
I have one more question. I was wondering about the when the Lord dresses as elephants. I saw the picture and I was reading it in your book and I was just curious, why does the Lord do that?
Nice. It's called Hati Vesha. Vesha means outfit. What? Dress? Vish. So Hati Vesha is an elephant outfit. As far as I could find in my research, what happened was that on the Snan Yatra, the full moon day in June, Jaist, it's the hottest day of the year, That's when Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple, goes up to the Snan Vedi, and gets bathed. But then as the sun sets and the full moon comes up, it's a little chilly. So that's when he gets sick. But what they do is after the snan, after the bathing ceremony, then they dress him in that hati vesha with the big ears and the big trunk. And from what I could find, I didn't find a very authorized explanation of it, was that many years ago, there was a devotee of Lord Ganesh, something but, Kuntia but, Raghupati but, and he came to Puri, and when he saw Lord Jagannath, he was disappointed. His Istadeva was Ganesh, so he was praying, why I care for this deity? So Jagannath wanted to pull his bhakti toward him, so he manifested an elephant face, because he's Lord Jagannath, he can do any face. And he did that, and then Raghupati Bhat became, and then offered prayers and became very enthused. So as far as I could find this story.
Yeah.
So. Use the microphone.
The Supreme Brahman is Ganesh. So Supreme Brahman.
That's how he conceived of it.
Yeah.
I see.
So then Lord revealed that, no, I am Supreme Brahman.
Ah, nice.
But he says, how can it be? This form is not what I am meditating. So he was disappointed he was leaving.
Ah,
so that's why Lord wanted to satisfy.
Ah, beautiful. Yes. Yayatamam papadyante. Ramanya Prabhu?
Thank you for the nice description of pastimes of Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are very fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada giving us through his books this pastimes. And also because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was in charge of that temple. So we're very lucky to have him, such a great acharya. In our line, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they appear in Jagannath Puri. And now, by their mercy, Srila Prabhupada, they will celebrate the Ratha Yatra festivals all over the world, all the major cities of the world. So
I think I saw the other day that there was a compilation, somebody figured it out, 476 Ratha Yatras every year.
500, yeah.
Can you believe, that's more than one a day.
Yes. Yeah, sure. So we're very lucky, very fortunate by the mercy of Guru Parampara and Lord Jagannath, so merciful, and to have celebrations all over the world, you know.
Yes. Jai Jagannath. Jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jai.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. The other day, since we're on the topic of Lord Jagannath, Bhakti Purushottam Swami told the story of a Mataji in Puri who saw Lord Jagannath as her own son. So she was thinking, my gosh, all these offerings, he must have indigestion, so I'm going to make some neem paste and bring it to him. So every day she would do this, and then one time one of the sevaks at the temple, or guards, stopped her and sent her home, and she was just crying, concerned that her son would become ill that day, you know, without this. And then in a dream, Lord Jagannath appeared to that guard or to the king or something to go to her and get that for Lord Jagannath.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know how the Western devotees or Western people are prohibited from entering Jagannath Mandir. How could Lord Jagannath tolerate that?
He came out.
Okay.
He's all around the world.
That's he showed them.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Prabhu, I just want to thank you for the detailed research that you do every time you give class. I mean, like that, for here is so-and-so who carries a golden cane. I don't know how many times I've read that. I thought, oh, it's so nice, he's introducing something specific. But I didn't realize it was the golden cane from Lord Jagannath until today. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm fortunate to be able to be told that I'm going to give class and then I can meditate on it and do that. Ramiya, did you have something?
Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple. So are Western devotees allowed to enter that temple?
No. One year we were allowed to go in and clean the courtyard. Sweep during Gundicha Marjana, the entranceway. No.
So, but there are other deities there when Jagannath is not there.
No. Just like we read the Gundicha pastime, when you go into the temple, it was all dusty and dirty because during the other parts of the year, there's nothing there. I don't know if they have an Istaday, one of those deities just for festivals and stuff, but I my understanding is empty. It's like a summer home. Nobody uses it. Then he goes there for his vacation, and it's all fucking clean and everything like that, and then he leaves.
I see. And the returning from Jagannath from Gundicha back to the main temple, that is also a big celebration.
Huge. It's called Bahudi Yatra. And that one for the Aryan devotees and the Jagannath Bhaktas is just as, if not more, enlivening than the first one. Because in the first, when they do Rath Yatra, he's leaving the temple and going to Gundicha. This means all those people with all that service really don't have all that service because the temple isn't so big, all that isn't going on. But now he's coming back. It's like Krishna returning to Dwarka. It's like he's coming back so that we can all serve him. And he's back in his temple. So for them, their sentiment is very much enlivened by that particular festival, yeah.
At the end of the Rath Yatra, at the end?
Oh, excuse me. My name is Lee Levitar. I've been living in Orissa for many years.
Oh.
And at the end of the Rath Yatra, in the evening or all night long, ourselves, white Videshis, we can go on Jagannath's cart, Baladev's cart, and Subhadra's cart. And of course, the Pandas, they demand some donation. But we can go, and even if you pay enough, you can actually put your head right on the body of the baby.
Oh, sorry.
Jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry, we have one more.
I was just wondering if the Rath Yatra celebration coincided with the temple being built in 1150 or whenever. Did they start the Rath Yatra celebration right upon completion of the temple? What's the history of the Rath Yatra?
In the very beginning, the first Rath Yatra?
Mm-hmm.
What happened was that where the Gundicha temple is, in the back of it, there's an Nrisimha temple. So the actual, what happened was that they got the tree, you know the story, how it came in the ocean, right? Then they brought the tree back and the carpenter fashioned the deities at that place where the Nrisimha temple is. Meanwhile, they built the temple where the temple is. So the first Rath Yatra actually went from the Jagannath, from the Nrisimha temple to the main temple. So it was the first Rath Yatra. They had to transport the deity. And that's how it took place. Yeah.